healing. He doesn't want one or two specialists or superstars. He wants to use everybody. It's the believer's right to pray for the sick. I mean, Jesus said to the church, I want you to go, I want you to go into all the world, preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. That's the first problem. I was in Japan some time ago, and I didn't realize it, but I was the first person to actually bring a healing gospel into Japan. And the pastor said to me, my people know nothing, which is really good sometimes. My people know nothing. And could you demonstrate it the first night? And the second night, you can start to encourage them. And I said, well, if I demonstrate it the first night, nobody will feel confident enough to follow me. So trust me, I know what I'm doing. And he kind of put his eyes up in the sky and said, okay. And he sat behind me, so I couldn't see his face while I was preaching. But it was a very, very simple message. And it was kind of explaining to the Japanese that all you do is you lay hands on people. And then I said, how many people come from a sort of Pentecostal background? And a lot of them put their hands up. And I said, you don't do it like they do. And they kind of looked at me, and I said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, I've survived Pentecostal prayer in the past. Migraine, it's a miracle I didn't have a slip disc after prayer. Because they don't understand, it's not by might nor by power. And I had a group of hands put on my head, and they're going, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And I'm thinking, Lord, let there be enough health in me to survive this prayer. Because as they were pressing down, it made my migraine worse. And I'm thinking, I have a spinal column connected somewhere underneath this. And I could have a slip disc as a result of this healing prayer. Then, not wanting to be rude, but wanting to dramatically bring out a point, I said, how many charismaniacs are there? How many people from Japan have been to Toronto? And a few hands went up, and I said, yes. I said, and mind, they sort of shake under the anointing in Toronto, you see. And I said, I've had hands laid on me there too. And they shake and shake and shake, and I have a wonderful scalp massage. Unless it's a lady that's got a wedding ring, engagement ring, eternity ring, and a class ring, and then it's very bruising. Now, why do they shake? Because Jesus went around healing people that shook like this. Why do they shake? And I'm not being rude about Toronto. I mean, I was there. I loved it. But for 3 years, they shook, and they never had a physical healing. When they got a little bit of instruction how to lay hands on the sick, they saw 16,000 people healed in the next 12 months. And it was really interesting because I said, if you shake, it's not a sign of the anointing, it's a sign of tension. If you just lay hands on, you're completely relaxed. If you press, you've got tension. If you're doing this, you've got tension. But if you just lay your hand on lightly so you barely ruffle a hair, then you've got perfect relaxation. And then the Holy Spirit can flow like a river through you because there's no tension that causes him to flow down and flow back up, flow down, flow back up. And this is what this is. And then I said, why don't all the Japanese people in the meeting pray for each other? And they all got excited because culturally they love to do everything together, which was really very fortunate for me because I didn't realize it at the time. But we got everybody praying for each other. How many people felt something flowing out of them? Hands went up everywhere. Because they did what they were told, was just lightly do it, barely touch, then the power of God could flow. And because I told them, if you're being prayed over, don't pray. I mean, Christians love to pray, help the Lord a little bit. Sort of, I believe I'm going to get healed. I believe I'm going to get healed. I believe I'm going to get healed. And that cuts the communication from the Holy Spirit to you off. I praise you, Lord, praise you, Lord, praise you, Lord. Trying to have faith to get healed, it cuts it off. If you do nothing, then you can receive. And it's very simple. So I got the Japanese people to actually speak to each other and say, now, when I pray for you, do not pray. Do not collect $200. Do not go to jail. I mean, just relax. Do nothing. It's very hard. It's very, very hard for Christians that think, I've got to do something to help the Lord. Really, he doesn't need our help. If we get out of the way, then his power can flow. And all the Japanese put their hands on each other, and I said afterwards, how many felt the power of God go through them? Hands went up everywhere. How many people felt the power of God go in? Well, it can flow in like electricity, it can flow in like heat, it can flow in like oil, it can flow in like peace. And peace is a tremendous power. When you've got no peace and suddenly you get flooded with peace, it's like, oh, wonderful. And hands went up everywhere. So I said, okay, now, if you felt the presence of God go in, it probably means that you're healed. If God touches you on the inside, wouldn't you think you're probably healed? It shouldn't be that difficult to evaluate that. And the Japanese were very quick. They all put their hands up and said, yes. And so they come out and they want to testify. And it was really funny because the very first man came out and he said, I know English. I don't need an interpreter. And I said, oh, good. Wonderful. Because very few people down there speak a word of English. And it was really funny because he said, I'm very confused. I said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Why? Sort of thinking I'd made the message too simple for him. He said, well, I came in blind and now I can see. I'm really confused. So I said, I don't think you mean confused. I think you mean startled or amazed or something like this. He said, no, I don't. I know English. I'm confused. Why? This is what he said. It was my wife who laid hands on me. It might be normal in America, but in Japan, he had nowhere to put this because Japanese wives walk behind their husbands. It's very patriarchal. And he was head of a big Japanese company, real big, powerful executive, and his wife was the one that laid hands on him, and his blind eyes flew open. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. After that, we had to kind of get down into the teaching. How can you do this every day in the future? Because they hadn't really brought me to Japan just so that I could show them healing exists. They wanted it to stay and to be a normal part of life. And in John 5, verse 19 is the key. If you remember the passage, Jesus had just raised somebody sort of off a bed that was paralyzed on the Sabbath. And he really got into trouble for it. I mean, he was criticized because he did work on the Sabbath. The second thing that happened was he called God his father. And they were going to try and kill him for that. And this is what Jesus said. Truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, or what the Father says he can do. Here is the limitation. This is what Jesus said. I of my own self can do nothing. Now, just imagine this. We have to live in this kind of tension, I believe, where if Jesus tells us to do something, we can do anything. And if he doesn't, then we can do nothing. And it's really hard to grasp this so that you understand. I mean, Jesus was a miracle worker. But for 30 years, he walked around seeing sick people. And he never touched one of them. He never healed one of them. The number of times he must have gone into the temple in Jerusalem and walked past the lame beggar, and everything in us is going to say, oh, well, have compassion. But you can't have compassion. Compassion comes from the Spirit of God. What I can have is sympathy. What I can have is empathy. But real compassion flows out of the Spirit of God. And when that's there, then you can do anything. But for 30 years, Jesus did nothing. I want to let you in on a little secret. I've been praying for the sick for about 47 years now. And when I started, I had absolute faith it wouldn't work. I was totally convinced it wouldn't work. It was me that was praying. I couldn't speak two words without stammering. I had absolute confidence that God could use anybody but me. But unfortunately, God spoke to me. That was the problem. I was praying one day. God spoke audibly. He said, I've called you to preach the gospel and heal the sick. And I thought, are you mad? Don't you know I can't speak without stammering? And he said, I had the same trouble with Moses. Now, I'm not saying you have to have a stammer in order to heal the sick. That's not the truth. You don't, but it helps. Catherine Coleman, Oral Roberts, and even Benny Hinn. I don't know why God likes to pick on people who have a speech problem to heal the sick, but he wants to use every one of us. That's the point. And I was so nervous that I of my own self could do nothing. I learned that very quickly. I couldn't do it. But what the problem I had was God spoke. And the very first day that I'm out actually serving the Lord, it was interesting. I had to take a Southern Baptist lady to a Catholic lady in the late 60s. And I didn't think that those two could ever be friends. But I drove this person up to the house and I was invited in. And then they sort of offered me a cup of tea or coffee and some biscuits and stuff. And I'm sitting there about to go off. And they suddenly say, what are you doing with your life? And I stammered and spluttered and said, well, I'm going to be a preacher. And they looked at me like that and sort of said, get on your knees, we'll pray over you. While they were praying over me, I heard this little voice inside that said, one of them's got a kidney problem. Pray for them. And I thought, what are kidneys? Where are they? Is it serious? I had all these questions and doubts. But the thing that cemented it was I heard this little voice inside that said, one of them's got a kidney problem. Well, I sure hoped it was the Catholic lady. Because I knew the Southern Baptists wouldn't believe in healing anyway, but Catholics did. So I'm sort of thinking, oh God, help me. Let it be the Catholic lady. And it was. But I didn't realize she had a week to live. She had kidney failure, and God gave her two brand new kidneys. I didn't know what I was doing. I prayed in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. I'm bound, I loosed, I cast in, I cast out. I prayed every prayer that I think I'd ever read or heard about, and a few more that I made up. because I had my hand on this person's head and I didn't want to take it off. Because if I took it off, then I had to open my eyes and then I'd have to find out, are you healed? And I didn't know how I could cope with failure on my first day. And when I took my hand away, she's lying on the floor dead. As far as I was concerned, she died, you know. At least that's what the enemy told me. He said, this is going to be a good start. Evangelist prays for sick, woman dies. And the Southern Baptist lady had her mouth wide open. And I had no answers. And so I picked up my raincoat and I drove off. And I've been traveling ever since. But about 6 weeks later, I got a letter from her saying that she'd gone to Lourdes and she'd gone to Rome. She kissed every step of the Vatican, all the way up and all the way down, trying to get healed. And God didn't heal her there, but he healed her sort of in Oxfordshire through somebody who didn't know what he was doing. And it was body parts. In 1969, she got two new kidneys. I wish I could say it happened every day afterwards like that, but it didn't. But every time I got a word, every time I got a feeling, every time God showed me something, people got healed. And it didn't take me very long to realize, if I'm going to preach, I'm going to stick with the word of knowledge like Catherine Coleman does. Because she would follow the Holy Spirit around and she would know where he's moving and she would just report it. And so it was so easy. And I stuck with that for years and years and years. And hundreds of thousands of people have been healed of all kinds of things. But I can't say, yes, I've had faith for that all the time. But if I hear something, or if I feel something, or if I see something, that seems to be the key. Jesus said, I have my own self. As the Son of God, I can't do it. And then he said, it's not me that does the works. He said, it's my Father that does the works. Now, there's a huge key in there if you can grasp hold of it. If you go back to YouTube and you really examine how the generals of healing prayed, you'll be amazed. I missed it. I mean, I've gone to YouTube, I've listened to A.A. Allam and Jack Coe and all these guys, and I'd missed it. They prayed, Father, in Jesus' name, Father, you do it. And it gets done. And so Jesus himself said, I of my own self can do nothing. As my Father shows me, as my Father tells me, I can do everything. Well, that's true of you and me. You can be walking into Starbucks or somewhere for a coffee, and you suddenly get a pain come to your body. What do you do? Do you rebuke the enemy? Or do you believe it could be God talking to you because the person immediately in front of you has got that pain? One of the ways God speaks, he speaks in about five ways. He can give you a picture. It's a fleeting glimpse of a kidney. And you think, I had that last week. It can't be real this week. But it is. Doubt your doubts when you get these faint impressions. Because it's very faint. And the more experienced you get in it, it seems to get fainter because God wants you to exercise that faith toward it. It's great sensations when you first start. You feel like, cool, absolute sort of energy from heaven is flowing through you. After about 3 weeks or a month, you feel nothing. And you think, where's the energy gone? Well, it's not for you. It's for the person you're praying for. They're the one who gets all the feelings. Perhaps you probably won't get too many feelings. But you can have a gift of the Spirit called the word of knowledge, which is basically God speaks. And God might speak kidney. And it's a word that you hear. Sometimes you might not hear anything, but you see a picture of this tiny little kidney thing. If you don't get it like that, you might get a feeling come to your body suddenly and you get pain around the kidney area. Three ways that you know. Four ways that you know is that you just know that you know that you know, but you don't know why you know or how you know. And of course you've got the other way where it's in technicolor in front of you. Either of those ways indicate what God wants to do. How many people have sort of experienced treasure hunting? Oh, not too many. Okay. It's great fun. Three or four of you get together and you pray and you have to hear from God. So that's the first thing that's interesting. And you get green shirt and you get blue pants. And you get, Toyota. And then you go on the streets and you see a Toyota. And you're waiting to see, has he got a green shirt? Has he got blue pants? If he hasn't, he's not the treasure. So you keep looking till you find it. When you find it, you know that God has revealed this person, and he wants to do something for this person, and he wants to do something now. Okay? All of these treasure hunt things came out of Bethel in California. And I heard about them for years, and I thought, you know, it would be really fun to do a treasure hunt in church. Because you've always got people in church that are needy, but they don't think of themselves. They don't recognize that they have a need. They're always praying for somebody else, or they're prayer warriors, or they're serving in some capacity, but they don't acknowledge they've got a need, and sometimes God wants to get to them. Very first time I tried this was nearly the last. It's a small Christian conference, about 100-120 people. I said, okay, let's do this. The first four people that see pictures, put your hands up, you see. Immediately, four people put their hand up, and I said, what picture do you see? Oh, he said, I see a high brick wall, and it's got razor wire, all coils of it, on the top of the wire. And I thought, that's a prison wall. No Christian conference is going to have somebody stand up and say, it's me. I used to be in prison. And it got ridiculous from that point on, because somebody else said, I see a cave. Really? We don't have caves in England, or hardly. Okay, I see a cave. Somebody else said, I see a person sitting on the beach, watching the sun going down, and he just wishes that he had the peace that is portrayed by the actual scene that he's enjoying. And the fourth clue was two smoke rings from a cigarette. I think, God, I think I love you, but I'm not sure at this point in time. Who is going to respond to this? And there was a man put his hand up. He said, me. Okay, come on out and tell me this story. Well, he said, I did something quite bad and I went to prison. I came out of prison. I had no money. I had no support, nothing. And I determined I was never going to go back in prison. I was not going to sort of rob anybody. And I found a cave by the beach and I lived in the cave. And I used to sit on the beach. That was me that you saw, he said. I used to sit on the beach and think, I just need healing. I just need peace. And I can't find it. And he said, I can't get healed because I can't break the habit of smoking. I said, what's wrong with you? He said, emphysema. I said, that's where you're wrong. That's where you're quite wrong. I mean, God's going to heal you and you'll never smoke again, probably. But God's not withholding something because you've created a blockage. I mean, God is determined he is going to bless you today. That was the first time that I ever did it. I was in a conference in Belgium recently, and I thought I'd try it again. So there were four clues. A white tower with a black bell and the sun shining through on the black bell. That was the first clue. The second clue was a sort of very dark forest and a black water kind of lake in the middle of a forest. It didn't have any sunshine coming through, so the water looked black. The third clue was an old red barn. And the fourth clue was a bouncing beach ball on the beach. And you think, there's always one. Thank you, Lord, but what does this mean? And there's one lady put her hand up. She said, it's me. Okay, what's wrong? Would you like to come out and sort of interpret all these pictures? Oh, she said, yes, I'll come out. And she came out and she said, well, I really need to start with the second picture first. The second picture was the place during the Second World War where my Jewish parents took me for a picnic. And we didn't know it, but there were German troops in the forest. And because the family was Jewish, they had to wear big yellow stars on their clothing. And when the Germans saw that, they shot and killed every member of my family but missed me. And I ran into the forest, and I managed to lose the Germans. They didn't find me. I think she said she was about 5 years of age. She ran and ran and ran through fields, and guess what she came upon? An old red barn. And she said, I hid in there for 3 or 4 days, then I got really hungry. And I decided I'd go home. And I'm walking down the street going home, and my neighbor stopped me. He said, if you want to survive the war, you've got to pretend to be my daughter. And I'm a Greek Orthodox. And you have to come to the church with me on Sunday. You can't go to the synagogue anymore. You have to go to the church. And she said she walked in the church and there was this white tower with the sunshine streaming in on this huge black bell. And she said when she stood under the bell, she just knew that God was going to drop it on her and crush the life out of her because she was denying who she was. Now, you just carry that kind of pain and that kind of condemnation for 50, 60 years after the war. And suddenly God says, I'm going to heal her. It was just beautiful. It was beautiful. About a year ago, I was trying it out in England again, and one of the first clues was a house, beautiful big log house, which is very unusual in England anyway, very big log house, and it was on fire. The second clue was a tiny blue rowing boat sort of in the river. The third clue was a Dutch windmill, a big Dutch windmill. And the fourth clue was the Ace of Diamonds playing card. Four people had seen a picture from God. Not one person had four pictures. One person had one picture. And we joined four together and thought, okay, now we'll go after the treasure. Who is the person whose log house caught fire? And there's one lady puts her hand up. She said, it's me. What's the blue boat? She said, oh, well, that's the only place in the world that I find peace. And I get in my little blue rowing boat and I sit there. And everything in the world is wonderful for a few minutes. What about the big Dutch windmill? Oh, she said, that's the picture I've got above my bed. That's my favorite picture. Do you realize the intimacy with which God speaks to us? That's what's so powerful. Okay, what about the Ace of Diamonds playing card? Oh, she said, I have no idea what that means. I said, I do. I mean, she was suicidal. She checked herself out of a secure mental hospital to come to that meeting for one service. The only time she was allowed out was that one service. And that's why God said, I want to get to this woman and now. I said, you don't realize it. God sees you like a diamond. And you're not at the bottom of the pack. You're at the top of the pack. And then she said, well, my parents always told me the wrong child lived because my brother died in the fire. Just a word spoken in frustration, anger, fear. Years later, what about the impact of it? And I could tell you tremendous numbers of stories, but wouldn't it be fun to actually do one? So if you'd like to close your eyes for a few seconds, I'm going to pray. I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and give you one word or one picture. And I want four people. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your presence, Lord. I just ask you to come now and speak to four people, one word or one picture, that we might find the one person who you desperately want to heal tonight, no matter what's wrong with them. Four clues, one treasure. If you've got a picture, put your hand up. If you've got a word that's just dropped into your mind, just relax to get it. Don't strain or struggle or strive. It doesn't come that way. It comes when you think, this is hopeless, Lord. Boom. There it is. Four people. So who's the first one? When I spoke, you got a picture, you got a thought. It just dropped. You don't have to interpret it. You don't have to kind of understand it. But you do have to put your hand up. So don't be shy. Because somebody's healing. Okay, if you'd like to come out, brother. That's great. I need three more. You've had a picture come to you. You've had a thought drop in your mind. I know you have, so don't be bashful. Who thinks they might have got something, but they're not sure? Come on out. Okay, please come. Three, four. Okay, we got the four. Excellent. Right. As you were first, sir?
It was the word justice.
Justice. Okay. Don't add to it.
I just heard horses running in a field.
Okay.
And I seen kind of like a stream that, or like a river that was kind of raging.
Raging river. Okay.
Back. The word back.
Word back. Okay. somebody relates to these four pictures. Justice, either you felt you didn't get justice, or you need justice, or something to do with justice, something to do with flooding a raging river, something to do with a back, and horses running. Something to do with horses stampeding or running. Now, there's one person here who can relate to those four clues. Who is it? Or you can relate to three immediately, but you're not sure about the fourth. I mean, I've had that happen. Don't all rush out, but think about it.
It's my mom. It's my mom. It's got to be.
It has?
In the yellow, yeah.
In the yellow?
Yellow carbon.
It's the lady that's crying.
Yeah, that's my mom.
That's your mom. Would you like to come and get touched by God? Is it possible to separate a chair and actually bring it to the front? Are they all joined? Okay. Right. Great. Thank you very much. Would you like to have a seat a minute, seeing you're the treasure? Would you like to explain what the clues are? No. But you understand the clues are for you. Okay, that's all we need to know. What do you need healing from? Is it something to do with your back or what? It is. Okay. Right. Okay, guys and ladies. All gather around. Don't pray about justice. Don't pray about the thing. Just pray for God to love on her, completely heal her, and make her feel like she's a treasure.
Yeah, yeah. Father, you're such a lover. Lord, just extend your hand now, Father. Your loving hand, Lord. Touching her body, God. Touching her back. Touching the hurt, Lord, that goes beyond the back.
Dad, I thank you that you love her so much, that you told her her story so that you could heal her heart, you could heal her back, and you could restore all the things that the enemy had stolen. God, I thank you that all of the pain goes and your love just flows in just like a river.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for you, your goodness and your kindness, Lord God. And I thank you for allowing her to feel, Lord, as though she is your jewel, your treasure, Lord God. I pray that that seeps into her spirit, Lord. And I pray that there would be a freedom released in her, Lord God, and healing in her back in your holy, precious name.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would just heal Donna from her head to her toes, Lord. We thank you.
Okay, how do you feel now? Have you still got pain, or is the pain all gone? It's all gone. So how long have you been in pain?
Forever.
Oh, forever. And you don't have pain now? You sure? You can't feel any pain? How much pain did you come with when you came out on a scale of 1 to 10?
About an 8.
About an 8. And you have zero pain now. If you could stand up a minute, can you? Could you stretch up and bend over? Wow. And you don't have pain? No pain. Could you tell us what was wrong with your back?
SI joint.
Okay.
I've been bothering it.
What was this thing about justice?
I just never felt like I got justice from my parents.
Okay. Well, you just got healed by the Lord. Isn't he good? But why don't we give her a clap? This is how natural healing can be. Do you want to try another way of healing? Sure. Okay, why don't you come out? I expect you've seen the big evangelists, like people like Reinhard Bonnke, wave their hands over everybody.
No?
Well, out of your arm and hand is going to come the power of God. But you have to declare, because the kingdom of heaven comes by declaration, that two people are going to get healed as you wave your hand across them. There's the mic. Just picture the fire of God flowing out through your palm all over there, like a big flamethrower, you know.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm hot. Thank you very much. It's hot. I declare in Jesus' name, you'll be healed. Two people will be healed in Jesus' name.
So how do you feel now?
I'm hot.
You're hot.
Yeah.
All right, stay there. Two people felt the Holy Spirit's presence land on them. Don't all rush, but I know that's true. Two people. I believe it's one person this section and one person this section. The peace of God, the presence of God, the heat of God went through you, and you know that you had a touch from Father. Who are you? This is like being back in England. Yep. What did you need healing from? Anything? Okay. What about over this side? Somebody felt. Right. Somebody came into the meeting and you had some kind of stomach problem, abdominal problem, and you were in some measure of pain or discomfort, and that's gone. So who are you? Thing about the word of knowledge, it's never wrong, so it's like, somebody through there, probably trying to hide or something. Somebody through here has got some kind of stomach condition. I didn't see it. Come on down, as they say. The price is right. How is it now?
Good.
Good?
Mm-hmm. My stomach is burn. It's been awful. I've been drinking this water to sit there. And it's gone. Nothing else. But I didn't feel a thing. I just prayed. I've been praying for healing for my eyes. But I didn't feel a thing. But it's gone.
It's gone. So you felt it go, or you didn't feel it go, but now you realize it's gone.
No, when you say about the stomach, I didn't feel any more pain, nothing.
And how long have you had pain?
I just today, this morning, sometimes I have the pain in my stomach, and I have to drink some medicine,
and it's gone.
It's gone.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Okay. Who has started to move in healing, but you want to go a bit deeper? Okay, come with me a minute. All right? We're going to walk sort of back through the church. Okay. And I want you to pick up the first time that you get a pain. Oh. Now, this is how much pain that you will feel. Okay. It's very subjective. So it's easy to get it wrong. Okay. But you don't have pain at the moment?
No.
Okay. So let's walk back and see if you can pick up on Jesus' touch with people's infirmity. And so as you're representing Jesus, we're walking back. And you are thinking, well, is there any pain? No? Somebody got a bad knee?
I do.
Yeah, okay. Right. I tell you what I felt, just a kind of a slight stabbing in the knee, just for a second. After that, it's gone. Do you want to pray for her knee?
Oh, yeah, I like praying for knees. Oh,
okay.
I like to get prayed
for. I like praying for knees.
Don't pray. You're about to pray. Don't. Just relax.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we just release your healing on these knees. Lord, there's a word we've heard over and over from chiropractors and different doctors that women have bad knees. But we proclaim that we're the children of the Most High God, and Lord, that our bodies are your temple and filled with your presence and with your healing. So we just thank you for that. We just release those perfect, divine, ordered, made knees for our sister here in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Would you stand up a minute and see if it's still hurting or if it's fine?
They're still cracking a little, but I could not go this far before.
Okay, so you're well on the way to healing. All right? Okay, let's keep walking.
Very pain sensitive, or sensor.
It's practice. Okay. It might not be pain, but it's a sensation.
I would go with that.
Did you get something happen to your ears as we're standing?
I get a left elbow.
A left elbow. Who's got a problem with an elbow? Who's got an elbow problem? Everybody's looking. No, not me.
Did you get something with an ear?
I got something with an ear, and there is somebody that has hurt or damaged their elbow. There. Do you want Jesus to touch it? No. Okay. All right. Okay. Who's got an ears problem? You've either got pain in the ear or an echo in the ear.
Buzzing.
You've got a buzzing in the ear. Okay. Would you want to put your hand across his ears?
Yeah. Which one?
It's actually both.
Both? Okay. So Lord.
And just speak peace and balance.
Yeah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just speak peace and balance. Take all the bees out of his ears. And just speak peace over him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Wow. Certainly felt that.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
How is it?
It's not buzzing.
It's not buzzing. That's good. Okay. Right. Do you want to get to the back? You got any pain, tension? Is there somebody that's got a heart issue?
He's getting upper stomach. That's probably close, isn't it?
Stomach or heart problem? No? Do you want to come? It's another ear.
Oh, okay. What's wrong with your ear?
I had a fungus in it, and it's all stopped up.
Oh,
okay.
It's been going on for several years.
Oh, okay.
Melt it with the fire of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Melt it. That's a good word. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word that cleanses. Just speak to the cleansing of that ear in the name of Jesus.
Wow.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sweet ears, Lord. Full of your sweet oil in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
So how's that?
Well, I can't tell for sure.
It didn't make you deaf, did it, or something?
Well, almost. I haven't been able to hear well for 5 years.
All right. Put your hand in your good ear. Put your finger in your good ear. Speak
now,
to
can
her.
Can you hear us well?
Can you hear me?
Not very well.
In the name of Jesus, Father, restore this hearing. What did I say? 21, 22, 23.
A little bit better.
What did I say?
What?
What did I say? Could you hear what I said?
No, I just heard your voice.
Ah, okay. Father, in Jesus' name, just restore this hearing. Sure feel his presence.
I can too.
Wow.
I sure can. It's flowing.
Can you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Mm-hmm. 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 21, 22.
Can you understand? Do you speak to an American accent? That's
what I'm thinking. Muffled.
A little bit louder.
Okay.
I'm not hearing very well yet.
Okay.
You coming tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
I'll see you again.
Okay, thank you.
Don't be surprised if you can hear in between. Do you want to go down this side or should we pick somebody else?
Yeah, go ahead, pick someone else.
Okay. Hmm?
He's the naughtiest one in the church.
Oh, I need prayer for being naughty.
Do you want to try this?
Let's go.
Okay.
What are you talking about? We can do this.
We can do this.
No, we can't.
This is
Jesus
easy.
Jesus can do this.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so who is Jesus pointing out? There'll be one face that kind of sticks out. Have you found someone?
I did.
Okay.
Many things.
Okay.
Yes. Peace, because that's what I've been feeling the whole time. Okay, so we'll pray for peace.
He felt that he should pray for peace. And this is what this man needs. Now, I don't know how much you understand, but if I can just give a demonstration, it'll help everybody else, all right? I'm going to pray for peace for you, okay? And this is what Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, right? So I'm going to give you peace, all right? My peace I give unto you. My peace I give unto you. Nobody felt peace. A lot of people felt like they had an itch that ought to be scratched. How did Jesus give peace? He drew it up from his spirit, took a deep breath, and he said, my peace, my peace I give unto you. And the words create the flow for the spirit of peace. That's what I want you to do. Take a really deep breath and give him the Lord's peace. My peace.
I give unto you. I give you all the peace that you need. My peace.
Draw it up from your belly.
My peace I give unto you. My peace I give unto you.
Okay, how does that feel? Does that feel better or the same?
Better.
Better. Okay, good. Great.